Welcome back to the Castaway Consultants, where we teach future Survivor players how to play the game by critiquing and discussing current players. I'm one of your three co-hosts, Derek Kubicek, and today we're going to be looking at Season 45, Episode 12, The Ex-Girlfriend at the Wedding. I'm joined in person by two co-hosts, Josh Wessler and Ryan Stacey. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. A penultimate episode. We're coming into the finale now. It's exciting. We're in the endgame now.
Yeah, nothing will ever compare to last week's episode. Yep. So if you're just comparing it to that, a little bit of a snoozer, some questionable decision making, if you ask me. But I am, you know, this episode prepared me at least for what is to come in the finale.
It felt like a build up episode, which was nice. We had a mini spike, and then now we're coming into finale with some upward momentum. We have an upward trajectory for drama. I don't think it's obvious what the result is going to be, and there are, I think, still, I mean, spoilers, like three people who could still potentially win. I know mathematically that's the case, but I feel good that three are in one spot and two are elsewhere.
See, I don't. I think this is a slam dunk. One person's got this.
I agree with Ryan.
It could be.
But why don't we get into spoilers? And so we can talk about that a little bit more.
I'm down with spoilers, but go watch it.
Yep, go watch episode 3, 2,
hurry up.
1. Drew goes home tonight. We've lost one half of our dynamic duo of Drew and Austin. No JT and Steven this time, folks.
Yeah, this actually surprised me. I thought we were left some breadcrumbs throughout the season to indicate that we would have Austin and Drew in the finale facing off against each other at Final Tribal Council. And that is not what we are going to get. And, you know, sad day for my winner pick because it's not a good look for him.
I like that the edit left the door open. It would be a shame to shut that door too early, especially when Drew references it a couple times in the season that he feels that's the direction they're going. It was an interesting dichotomy because it was clear who JT was and clear who Steven was. Mm-hmm. So what would his plan have been come Final 5, Final 4, especially with the D and Julie about it all? It was interesting. So,
but it is not to be, or should I say, not to D.
Aww. And actually, he also mentioned another duo today with Tyson Jervis.
Yep.
So, you know, add that one to his list of who do you think you are between these two?
Are you the Jervis or the Tyson? Are you the JT, the Steven? Wendell and Dominic, I don't think is as comparable because Wendell and Dominic were pretty equal.
Mm-hmm. They were truly 1A, 1B. And it entirely depended on Laurel, who did nothing.
It'll happen. Happens to the best of us. So, goodbye, Drew. Should we jump into the episode proper and figure out how we got here?
Yeah, I'm ready. And we're going to go over predictions later, so stay tuned.
Yep, this is going to be exciting. I always love the episode before the finale where we can really just lay out how the rest of this is going to go. And, you know, Mike Gabler will probably come in and win it all.
Here comes Keturah.
Here comes the Alligabler.
All right, so we get back to camp, and Dee and Julie are pretending to be mad at each other because, you know, Dee voted for Julie, but it's all a little song and dance. It's a little awkward, but Dee is going to tell Austin that, hey, I didn't tell Julie. She figured it out. She sniffed it out, played her idol. And I think the dichotomy between Austin and Dee, two halves of the showmance, is really interesting because last week, Austin spilled the beans to Dee. Dee used that information, passed it on to Julie to further her own game. And this time, Dee has no problem lying to Austin, has no problem not giving Austin information. And Dee's the better player.
This confirms it. You know, there was a moment of mystery, you know, fast forward all the way to the end of the episode, but there was a moment of mystery where it's like, is she going to do the same thing that Austin ends up doing? And
nope,
she doesn't.
Not even close. So yeah, it's just interesting, two-sided of the showmance. You can't let the showmance get in the way of your game. Austin is letting it happen. Dee is not.
It's interesting because, first of all, like, what separates good players from great players, which is, I feel like that's a motto I keep coming back to a lot this season. What separates the good from the great? I have firmly placed Austin in good player, and I am slowly bumping Dee up to great because Dee has gotten her way with her adversaries, and now she's getting her way with her friends too. And I think that's another separator from good to great, where Austin, a good player, doesn't necessarily know what to do when it comes time to handle his friends in the game of Survivor.
Yep. I think you're right. And Dee even swears on her family at one point that she didn't know, like, that she didn't tell Julie, so she's doing what she's got to do.
Yeah, Sifu thought that he was Tony, but the real Tony was in the spy shack all along.
It was Dee with the big toe. So the next morning, Keturah's going to wake up bright and early and go idol hunting. Why the hell aren't the rest of you going idol hunting? Get up. What, you have nothing better to do. go hide hunting. Get your torch, light it, and go walk around the jungle.
That's interesting. We never see people walk around with their torches.
We don't see it with people walk around with their torches, but we do see people go out in the middle of the night and look.
Yeah, correct. And we even get Austin, who trails Keturah here, yep, and ends up finding her. And even after he finds her, he just goes back to camp.
Yeah, he says something along the lines of, like, I don't want anyone to find this idol. Okay, you know how you stop that from happening? You find it.
You go find the idol.
So, yeah, that's the biggest thing. I think my biggest gripe these days with Survivor is people who don't go idol hunting the morning after the idol was played. Get up.
Especially this late in the game, you know, if we're right after the merge, I would understand it because you don't want that target to be on your back. It's like, oh, wow, they're going out right away, immediately. I understand that. When we're in the final six, there's nowhere to hide. So everyone should be okay with anyone searching for an idol at this point. Yep.
So what Ben Dreebergen and Rick Devins did, and you know what? They're fan favorites of productions. Ben is not a fan favorite, but he's a production favorite. Devins is kind of both. It'll probably get more likely to get invited back if you go idol hunting in the middle of the night.
Might get you on the podcast.
I want to play devil's advocate for a second. I don't actually think Austin should care that much if Keturah gets an idol. Because if Keturah does get an idol, she's not targeting him. There are two people that he should at least be satisfied with Keturah wanting to take out ahead of him, and that's Julie and Dee. And ultimately, like, if he really wants to separate himself from the pack, you know, maybe even Jake, if Keturah and Jake have bad blood. Honestly, Austin should be happy with pretty much anybody except Keturah going home. The people who should be most worried about Keturah finding an idol are Julie and Dee. Sure. They should be out babysitting.
But Austin should still go be looking for it.
I think he should be out, like, feet walking or whatever, but I don't think that it's his responsibility to cover for Dee and Julie at this point in the game.
No, but you gotta cover yourself. You don't know. Crazy things can happen.
Yeah, but I don't think he should be worried about Keturah.
Maybe not, but he should be worried.
Yeah, you could get blindsided this episode.
Yep. Crazier things have happened.
Crazier things have happened. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
So Drew and Julie, they're gonna talk, and Drew's like, yeah, I'm down to work with you again. We'll put Reba 4 back together. LOL, no.
they both had their fingers crossed.
Yeah. And, well, I think Julie was actually genuine about this, and that just shocked Drew. Drew was standing there like, sure. Yeah, we can definitely make this work. I would love to work with you.
It feels like that moment where Julie's happy to go to the end with anyone, any group of people. Because she feels like she wins at the end with anybody. And so I think Drew is, in his headspace, is like, okay, but, like, I already drew the line in the sand. We're not working together, so I'm surprised you're even putting up a face right now.
He drew the line in the sand?
Yes, he besealed the line right in the sand.
I think one thing that annoys you, Julie, in this episode, she's, like, a little indignant that they would dare break up the Reba 4. Of course you would be fine going to the end with Reba 4, because you'll win, Julie!
It's the classic hubris thing of the person with the most honor and the person with the most integrity. I'm not saying that Julie hasn't been willing to be cold and cutthroat, yep, in this game. She doesn't have the benefit of being able to play like a Terry or a Tom, which are, of course, you know, the two classic examples. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it's easy to say, well, why'd you break the alliance? Because you win.
But Dee and Julie are going to talk about taking out Drew. Uh-oh. Reward challenge. Austin is going to end up winning the reward challenge, and he gets to bring two people on a reward with him. He's, of course, going to pick Dee because he's in love. But he also does pick Keturah, which I really like the Keturah pick, especially because the people who left the camp ended up being Drew, Julie, and Jake. That is the perfect unholy trinity to leave, because they've all had bad blood with each other.
My favorite thing was during commercial break saying, well, Drew and Julie, they don't like each other. Julie and Jake, they don't like each other. And Jake and Drew, they don't like each other. They've all had direct conflict, yep, with each other in the past. It couldn't be more perfect.
That's the right combination of people to leave together.
And Austin does a great job of laying this out for us, and that's wonderful in anything and everything, but I'm just upset. I'm upset here because if Keturah wasn't here, we could have had a nice little recreation of Colby and
Jerry,
thank you, in Australia, yep, on this nice little sandbar, and it would have been nice and cute, and that we would have gotten the actual, you know, reward challenge relationship that Survivor wanted oh so long ago.
Yeah, you know, all the way back to season one with Dr. Sean and Jenna, where they tried to, they sent like the youngest guy and the youngest girl off to the beach together to have a summit. Season one.
Just see what happens.
Just see what happens. And then, you know, of course, All-Stars happened. Robin Amber. But Drew, notably, Drew is very pissy that he wasn't picked. Drew, Hey, listen to this podcast, buddy. We laid this out clearly. One person goes, one person stays back and babysits. They lay it out, but like, Drew, you need to get with the program here a little bit.
He must be a new listener. He only knows some of our takes.
I am going to put on the tinfoil hat for a second. I haven't done it many times this season. I think Austin and Drew 100% talked about this, and Drew was playing up how indignant he was at being left behind.
I don't know. He seemed real pissy.
Tinfoil hat off.
Okay.
He definitely seemed very angry from the malnourishment.
Yeah.
We have to remember, he has the wrong body type. I guess 26 days, he's proven that he can make it, but 39, that might have been a bit of a marathon.
And I do like that they got a helicopter ride out to the reward, and they fly over the camp. And you definitely know the producer's like, no, go, guys, you got to go out there. And they're like, fine, we'll give you what you want.
I'll bite.
Jake.
But Julie and Jake, they're like, let's go idol hunting. Screw Drew. Let's go idol hunting.
Yeah, Drew is responsible for babysitting, as they call it. It's actually like, it's supposed to be Drew and Jake are babysitting, but yeah, Jake doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
Jake has his own game he has to worry about.
He's an agent of chaos.
And I love it. I'm rooting for Jake to win. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm rooting for it.
And by the way, I know that Jake is a lawyer, and I don't root for lawyers in Survivor, but there was that really fun moment on the beach where Drew was kind of pissing and moaning about how bad of a time he's had on Survivor, and then Jake ends his sentence with the very important, on Survivor. Like,
you don't have it that bad.
Like, you're on Survivor, you're not doing that bad. And he's like, I spent an hour every day scrubbing the crusty rice out of the pot on Survivor.
Yeah, exactly. I love Jake's attitude. Jake's great.
Like, it's not overbearing. It's just like, dude, perspective.
Perspective.
Perspective. Do you know how many people would wish they were scrubbing rice out of a pot?
I'd go scrub rice out of a pot right now.
On Survivor.
On Survivor. Keywords on Survivor. But Jake is going to find the idol clue. And this is pretty cool. The idol is hidden in a secret compartment in the raft. So he's got to unscrew like a thing of bamboo. And there's like a hidden compartment in there. And then there's a nice satisfying pop as
Thump.
He pulls it out.
So cool.
Thump.
Has this compartment been there the whole season?
No, it looked like when he popped it off, it looked like he was very like naturally just built into the end of an existing bamboo.
Yeah.
So they must have just last night apparently just kind of like.
I love it.
Fashioned it on there and just stuffed it in there. Which, that kind of makes me confused. Like, Jake, why did you put the end of this back on? Like, it looks now like it's a compartment on the end of the raft.
No one's going to notice.
Probably not, but you never know.
But Jake's got the idol. I love it.
And by the way, people out there, learn from this. Check all the bamboo shoots on the raft.
Yep. Just keep an eye out.
Just watch.
Immunity challenge. D is going to end up winning. It's the one where you have to, like, balance... a thing on the end of a thing.
It's like our sixth endurance challenge since hitting the merge. And you know what? I'm here for it. I love endurance challenges. I love them.
Endurance is good, but less balance focused ones, please. Because I can't balance because I have a busted ass leg.
You know what? I bet Noel wouldn't have complained. Who's the guy on season 9?
Chad.
Chad. Mm. Chad wouldn't have complained.
Cool. I'm not Chad or Noel. I'm going to complain. I famously complain a lot. I think you guys know this. Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
I mean, a squeaky ankle don't win the challenge, though.
True. So I'm going to be the squeaky wheel here. Let's not do this one when I'm on, please. Let's
obstacle balance. Courses. Swimming.
Yes. So let's do swimming. Maybe some puzzles. Puzzles are fine. Obstacle courses. Just not balance.
Six straight swimming challenges.
Let's go. Let's do it. Let's do a last gasp. Hell yeah. Let's go.
Endurance in water.
Let's go. Let's go. Who can tread water the longest? I'm in. I'll do it. Let's go. I can win that one.
That'd be a funny one.
I'm in. But D ends up winning immunity in a showdown between her and Austin.
And they're just talking back and forth the entire time.
So cute. Bleh. So Julie's the target. Julie's going home, right, guys?
I mean, it wouldn't be a bad move.
Some would say it'd be a good move.
But no, it's got to happen. The legend, the mythos, it's got to happen. We have to have Survivor Lawyer Island.
It's all coming together. You know, I would not enjoy that final three, not because they're all lawyers, but just because, like, Julie, Jake, and Keturah, it just doesn't really, it doesn't hit.
It'd be hilarious.
But, man, it'd be hilarious.
I told this to Derek earlier. There's more lawyers on this island than people.
Now.
Where's the lie? The only thing is, I do think Jake is a person, and I do think that Julie is a person, and I think Keturah is a person. They all have reasons to still be considered people.
Unlike most lawyers. But Julie's the target, except Jake doesn't want to do that. He's like, this won't help my game at all. Except it would totally help your game, Jake. Julie's got to go.
Yeah, Jake's in a weird spot here where his best move is one that's not going to be flashy or win him points at Final Tribal. And I get it. He's in a frustrating spot, but this is what happens when you try and fail multiple times in the post-merge trying to make moves happen for yourself. You just get put in a bad spot.
Because ultimately, Jake wants to blindside Drew. And, you know, we talked earlier, there'd be better options, but Diaz immunity, and we think everyone knows about Austin's idol. Because Jake would approach Julie and say, hey, let's take out Austin. Oh, he's got this advantage. Jamie Lindy's going to play. We can't get rid of Austin. All right, that leaves Drew and Julie, really. But Jake's plan, he wants to pull in Julie and Keturah and blindside Drew. It's the Lawyers Alliance coming together.
The Unholy Alliance.
And Keturah's like, well, maybe we should bring in D. And Jake doesn't want to do that because he's like, I want to force a tie in front of everybody at Tribal Council and then make them flip. And I'd be like, okay, that'd be a really showy move. Jake's seizing control. He's seizing power. Cut to Keturah and D, like, let's take out Drew. So I'm starting to suspect Jake can't win this game.
Wow, it's almost like Josh was right.
You know, I love Jake, and I think he's got a lot of friends on the jury. But that edit was just like, oh, Jake's setting up Jake's first power move, completely undermined by everybody else.
But it's the exact same as last time he tried to make a move.
Yeah,
and again, same thing happened to Owen. He tried multiple times and failed multiple times.
But now we're at the final six, and it's like, ooh, that's unfortunate. So, yeah, that's not great. That edit was very bad for Jake's game, I think.
And meanwhile, he has an idol that he really wants to use to make a flashy move. And maybe this was step one of that plan where he needed to have someone like Drew go home, even though it didn't make a whole lot of sense, or it wasn't necessarily like a giant move. And then next week, he's planning on, I don't know, playing his idol for someone else for whatever reason. Like, I don't know what he's thinking here, what this big move is going to be that is going to win him the game. I would like a look into his thought process here.
The right move for Jake is he could pull the Gabler and be the most likable person at the end. Take Keturah and take Drew to the end, you win. Well, that doesn't work if you want to take Drew out. Like, that throws that whole thing out the window.
His own, he must be thinking that he can get to the end with Keturah and Austin and have a fighting chance against Austin at this point. That's the only other option.
Really?
I mean, now it is.
This episode did sort of the character rehabilitation for Drew a little bit that we got for Julie the past few episodes, where Julie was all of a sudden this really big threat that we hadn't seen. Apparently, Drew is an extremely good orator, which we would agree. He's very self-aware. He can spin things to be viewed from his perspective. I wouldn't be that worried about someone with a silver tongue trying to prove a point against actual action in the Final Tribal Council. I can see where a lawyer might think that's more dangerous, but I think that Austin has a better social relationship and honestly has a more impressive resume than Drew. I think this is a miscalculation by Jake.
I agree, because I think Ryan Ulrich is a great example of that, someone who's really a good talker, and, you know, he got one vote in the finale. That same exact kind of type Drew is. On the flip side, people could see Austin as more of a Xander, a surfer bro who doesn't know what's going on as much. So, I could see it both ways, but I do think that Drew is overestimated by Jake here.
Yes.
So, we have Julie, we have Jake, we have Keturah, and we have D. These four all want to take Drew out. So that brings us to D and Austin, because last time, Austin ended up telling D that they were going for Julie. He showed that trust in her. And D's like, oh man, do I show that level of trust in him? Do I tell him? He could play the advantage amulet on Drew if I tell him. So she doesn't tell him. We love it.
Yep, and for the second straight episode, Austin's going to get blindsided.
Yep, good for D.
Yeah, and, you know, this is kind of, it's disappointing just because, you know, Austin, I perceived him, you know, he was the person that I switched to as my winner pick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was making that decision, I was choosing between three people. It was Austin, Emily at the time, and D. And, you know, I wasn't buying into the D hype yet, and Austin was having a really strong game at that point. He's just kind of fallen off the last couple of episodes, and it's been disappointing just because I would like him to be just as cutthroat as, you know, when he was getting sandwich vengeance.
Yep.
And he just isn't now. He's getting played.
Well, maybe now that he's going to get blindsided here, maybe he'll come back with a vengeance next week and turn things around on D. That'd be fun. That'd be wild. That'd be crazy.
It'd be last minute, too.
But I think he said the love goggles on for the last couple of boots, and it's not helping him at all. Tribal Council. Austin is going to play his advantage amulet because it's the last time he can play it. He plays it for himself. Not a factor. Instead, it is 4 votes for Drew, 2 votes for Julie. Drew is out of the game, and this is the wrong move. It should have been Julie. Because I think at this point, the bottom 3 people probably were Jake, Keturah, and Drew. Those 3 need to go to the end together. Jake and Keturah turning on Drew is a bad move for them.
Oh, so Jake being number 2 in your power rankings?
Yeah, I have some changes.
All right.
Power rankings this week. I love Jake. I don't think he's going to win.
Yeah, this was the right move for 2 people.
Mm-hmm.
Dee and Julie.
Yep.
And that is absolutely it. And I don't blame Austin for playing his idol on himself.
It's last time. Why not? Just play it.
Well, the only thing would be if he plays it on Drew, as insurance. Just, you know, everyone expects you to play it for yourself. So why would they try to blindside you if they know that you're going to play it? So maybe you place it on Drew just to try and save him and, you know, avoid any shenanigans.
There must have been no inkling that it was going to happen.
That's how good D is.
That's how good D is. So I'm going to say this was the wrong move.
I want to say it's the wrong move too. And we glossed over it a little bit because I said that, you know, Jake is the kind of lawyer who would maybe be threatened by a good orator like Drew at Final Tribal Council. Keturah did the same darn thing, thinking that Drew was this big person who needed to get kicked out of the game. Lawyers have no idea what's going on out here. This is why we don't want 3 out of the last 5 being lawyers.
I mean, I do.
The only lawyer here who has any sense is the one who became a lawyer at age 40. Good for you, Julie. You had time to become a person before you gave it all away.
It's just so funny coming from a banker.
Right?
I never said I wasn't part of the problem.
So I think we're all in agreement that this is the wrong move. What did Twitter think?
Well, Twitter disagrees with us. 71% of Twitter said that the right person went home.
Because 71% of Twitter loves Julie and Dee.
Yeah.
Or just doesn't like Drew. Don't like
Drew. Yeah.
Come on. But, like, why can't you... Like, everybody should like Drew, based on what we saw. Like, you know what? He has a few childish moments, but, like, he's young 20s dude.
He is the youngest person in the cast.
And like, come on, just leave the guy alone. I think he had a great time. He's incredibly self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
He's self-deprecating. He's got a personality. He wasn't boring. Like,
we saw multiple times in confessional that he had his, the pulse on the game. And it was actually kind of impressive how many times people were just lying straight to his face. And I believe them. And then Drew just comes through in confessional and is just like, nah, I don't believe it for a second.
I think if you give Drew a few more years, maybe a little more real-world living experience, maybe in his late 20s, early 30s, he comes back and plays again, he's lethal.
New era second chances.
Yeah, I think if Drew comes back on the next All-Stars, he's got a good shot. That's going to happen one of these days where it's going to be all new era players. That's going to be fun. I'm excited for that. But I think Drew could do really well on a return.
And, I mean, he did really well here. We all agree that he turned on Reba at the right time. I said last episode there was no worst player because it just so happened that everybody's game got elevated by Emily going home. Everyone tried to turn at the right time, and yeah.
Now, do you want
to
backtrack a little bit on that with Austin? No,
I don't.
Okay.
No, because I still think that it was a good thing for Austin that Emily went home, and I still think it was good for him to keep the trust, but I do think that it's a different situation, especially because in the game of Survivor, like when you go from 7 to 6, you're now going from what, like 14% to like 18% of the cast is going home. So there's like a big difference in importance there. And also, this was another cannibalizing move within Reba. So it's a different circumstance that happens to have a parallel that runs with bringing in your showmance to the no. So it's different.
And I mean, here's the thing. You should be under the assumption that everyone is going to be making the right move for themselves. And if that was the case, Julie would have been going home tonight. There was no reason that Drew would have been going home, but for some reason, Jake and Keturah just have a bad perception on who might be a threat.
So, yes, I agree. Like, in a vacuum, everyone should make the best move for themselves, and you should be taking that into consideration. Like, put yourself in everyone's perspective. What is the best move for their game? And then you have to be like, okay, now let's look at this person. What are their flaws? What are, you know, Keturah hates Bruce, for example. Let's take that into account. So you got to throw that kind of stuff in too. So yes, in theory, everyone should play in a vacuum, but that isn't Survivor. So, you know,
you're right.
Gotta consider every angle.
And the other thing is, I don't believe for a second that Jake thinks that Drew is a bigger threat than Julie. I think he told us exactly what was going on. He needs to make a move now. Yep. He needs to be able to own it. The problem is, and I'm going to make a video game reference. I very rarely do that, But Drew lowered the shields, and D came in and stole the kill.
Mm.
D is a kill thief.
Yeah, D stole the kill here. yeah.
Now, Jake is going to get the assist, but like that doesn't look so good on the scoreboard at the end.
One assist for Jake. It's like his first point.
Aw, that's cute.
All right. Let's get into best and worst player of the episode. Derek, start us off. Who is our best player?
It's D. I actually don't think it's particularly close. I think she handled her particular situation where bringing someone in the know perfectly correctly. She got picked to go on reward. She didn't win reward. So it's more just she didn't win reward. And she had a good enough relationship with Keturah that Keturah absolutely blows up the move that Jake wanted to own for himself and ends up coming in and stealing the kill. So I think it's kind of D on a clean sweep.
I'll go one step further. I think D is the only player this episode that played well.
I think there's two people who played well.
I agree with that.
I think Julie, because she found a way to survive.
Yeah, but she didn't do anything. Jake approached her. I would have liked for someone who was supposed to be the obvious vote, who had unanimous votes come towards her last episode, to do a little bit more to try to save herself and not just be sitting in the shelter and have Jake approach her.
She tried.
She did go idol hunting, and she played nice with the Reba Alliance.
And when I'm saying that D is the only one that played well, that doesn't mean that Julie played poorly. She was just neutral for me.
I'm going to give Julie a net positive and D a net positive, but D's the winner. Won immunity, took out Drew, kept Austin out of the loop, played things nice and clean. It's D with a bullet. How about worst player? Josh, who do you got?
It's Austin. I was thinking about Jake for a second, but the fact that he found an idol redeems him enough not to get worst player. So it's Austin. You got played two episodes in a row, and it's very obvious that D is not afraid to do the things that you were afraid to do.
See, I have Keturah as my worst player because Austin was left out of the vote. Jake and Keturah actually made a bad move where Austin was just left out. Jake found the idol, so that's something good. Elevates him above Keturah. Keturah should not be taking out Drew. It's a terrible move for her. That's one of the only people she has a chance against. The person she had the best chance against, even. So I think Keturah is my worst player.
I had Keturah, and I think I didn't even consider Jake finding the idol as my difference maker, but that's a good point to bring up. My difference maker was she went straight to the front runner and ratted out the plan for the underlings. Now, I don't typically like to give worst player to people that I think can't win the game, but there's still an ideal path for them to maximize their chances. And Keturah managed to shoot that to heck in high water by taking out, I think, the only member of Reba that her or Jake, just, you know, original Bello, had a chance against. So just for the lack of perception, the lack of self-awareness, and blowing up a fellow Bello member's game just because I gave it to Keturah.
Honestly, I wasn't even thinking about Keturah.
Right.
Just because it's like,
right.
I'm just not going to grade you because you're not even worth my consideration at this point. Which I'm sorry, that might be mean, but I will say I'll give her a dishonorable mention. I'm sticking with Austin though.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, this is where we talk about who's going next. But we got the finale next week, so it's a little different. What we do for this is we're spelling out how this is going to shake out. We get to say who's going out fifth, who's getting taken out at fire making, and then who's getting third, second, first in the final tribal council. And if there's a tie, you can call your tie. Yeah. Either way on that one. So I will go first. I'll start us off. I think Julie is getting set up perfectly to get taken out fifth. She seems like everyone thinks she's the biggest threat. She was out fifth. Final four fire making. I'm predicting there'll be D versus Austin. Sparks have been flying this entire game, and Sparks will fly at the final four. D defeats Austin and takes Keturah and Jake to the end. I think Keturah is zero votes. I think Jake will probably get like two, maybe three, and D sweeps the rest just because Jake has so many friends on the jury. But I think D is going to win this thing, and I cannot picture a world where the only other, like, Julie, I think, can win, like, on paper. I just don't think the edit is there. I don't think she will win. Austin has to, his story has to be like, I have to get back at D, and then maybe if he cuts D's throat at the final five, maybe he can save it. But that's the only other thing I can see. I really think this is D's game to lose. Derek?
Well, Brian, I guess to kind of spoil it, my ranking is exactly the same in yours, but my path to the end is slightly different, and this will go back to something that you guys say we already had a payoff for, but I'm waiting for a bigger payoff. I think Julie goes home at 5. Everyone kind of agrees that she's the biggest threat, so no changes there. I think that Dee wins immunity at Final Four, and the big toe plays a big factor in her winning her way into the Final Three with immunity, and I think what we're getting with the edit a little bit, we're getting a couple bones thrown to the goats, Keturah and Jake. Like, we're going to throw Jake a bone, like, you know, he knows he can, he's going to fight all the way to the end and try and make a name for himself. And Keturah's got this incredibly tragic and incredibly compelling backstory. And, you know, she never gave up despite how bad things got. But they don't stand a chance, even if Jake beats Austin in fire making and makes it to the end. They don't stand a chance against D. So I have Austin going out 4th, and then I have Keturah in 3rd. Jake might get a vote, maybe. Otherwise, it could very well be a clean sweep for D at the end.
Okay.
By the way, has D gotten a vote? A single vote this entire game?
Let me check. I think maybe like one, but let me double check here. Yeah, D has gotten 1. Julie's 11. Jake is 7. Austin and Keturah have 0.
So D is almost going to play a perfect game by my measure.
Okay. Yeah, I think that, like Ryan, I think that there's only two people who can win this game based off of the edit. You know, Julie, we've been told, is a huge threat, but it's just not there. It just would not make sense. If Julie wins this game, I would actually be kind of upset just because the story wouldn't really make sense with the season. I do think that Julie, because of that, goes out at 5, so we're in consensus there. I did say that Austin wins that first immunity.
Okay.
For whatever it's worth, and that Jake's idol means literally nothing.
I can see that.
Moving on, for the final immunity, D wins final immunity, and she drags Austin's butt to the end because she knows that she can beat him in the end, and she's going to show that it really isn't a competition between the two of them. It might seem like that for Reba, but she's gotten the best of Austin in 2 straight episodes here, and it's not even going to be close, and she's going to not give Austin a reason to get more votes from, like, a fire making. So she's going to bring Austin to the end and send 2 other goats into fire making. I said Keturah beats Jake in fire making, and the finale, the final tribal council, D wins 7-1-0 with Austin's lone vote coming from Drew.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, I could see it, I guess. And then Austin proposes to D, and then
at the finale immediately after the game.
And then they get married, and then he has 3 divorce attorneys to choose from as friends. No. I love love, as Jeff would say, but I mean it.
All right, last thing we have to talk about, and we've kind of touched this a little bit, but, you know, we can clarify if we want to. There's 2 people who technically cannot win this game left. Who are those 2 people? Derek, I believe it's your turn to go first.
Yeah, my first point, I stuck a fork in Drew, I think officially 2 weeks ago, and I was proven right. So my list has been a death knell for everybody in this game. I have not made a single mistake. I don't think I'm making any mistakes. I'm keeping Jake and Keturah pat on the list. You know, for those people who thought that Jake had a chance, Ryan, I saw your point before, but I think after this episode, it's much slimmer. So I'm keeping Jake and Keturah. I'm saying they can't win no matter what.
Josh?
I never saw Ryan's point and never will. It is Jake and Keturah.
So I had Keturah and Drew, so Drew's gone, so I got to put somebody else in there. Keturah's staying, and I hate to do it, but I'm going to put Jake in here. I think it's over for Jake. And I want to do one more thing. I'm going to take a leaf out of Derek's book.
I love it.
I'm going to stick a fork in Austin. I think he's done. I don't think it's going to happen. Now, somehow Austin, Keturah, Jake, final 3, Austin wins. I think slam dunk. But I don't think it's going to happen, just based on the story we're getting. So I will stick a fork in Austin. I think he's done. And honestly, I just don't see the story for Julie. So I could almost basically stick a fork in her. D's winning.
I would bet very good money that D wins this season.
I would bet a good chunk of change that D wins.
If I had $1,000 for free to bet on who wins the season of Survivor, I would put $950 of it on D.
Yeah, I really think D's going to win.
What if you had terrible odds, though? What if that $950 only returns you like $100?
I'd still put it on D.
Okay.
And then you take the $50 and then you throw it on
Austin.
Or Jake.
Yeah, put $50 on Jake. That'd be fun.
At like 5,000-1 odds.
45 on Jake, 5 on Keturah, just because then you can make the same million that she did.
All right, but we're all in agreement. Keturah and Jake can't win this game. And really, it's D's game to lose. I know it's a shorter episode than usual, but I think a lot of the actual episode was taken up by some romance, and, you know, this is not the love cast. This is the cast we get Sultans.
Yep. And the last thing that we can do, it's kind of a part of like our social media spiel, but last week's power rankings, first of all, we were late on making the social media post, but you know what? We all have lives and jobs and stuff, but we figured we would at least talk about the listenership average this week. Now, maybe Josh can see if there's been any movement, but at number six is Keturah. So the listeners, you guys all out there said that Keturah is the least threatening, followed by Jake at number five and Drew at number four. They were pretty close after the fall from grace that Drew experienced over the last couple weeks, but last week in particular.
And the, and those two did swap compared to the week before.
Okay. Jake and Drew did.
Yep.
And then at number three, we have Austin.
That means that he dropped below Julie.
Okay. And then we had Julie at number two and D at number one. I think those two have been close for a while. They were incredibly close coming into this episode. I believe we just had a couple rank Julie at three, and the only person to put D below three or below two was Ryan out of everyone who submitted. And he put her at three, so it wasn't even that big of a fall from grace.
And now look at him.
Yeah, hey, you know, I'm doing the best I can with the information I have.
You got to use that information to forecast.
Not always.
Hey, I will say my number one's going to change again this week.
All right. Social media.
Yeah, like Derek said, you can submit any of your power rankings to us on any of our social medias. It's Castaway Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
And actually, I want to switch that up. Mm. Send us your predictions this week. We're going into finale week, so power rankings I don't think really matter anymore.
Yeah, just send us the order you think it's going to be.
I want to see your fifth place, fourth place, third place, second place, first place. You can get as detailed as you want. You can break down votes. You can break down who votes for who. You can break down how. I love reading all of it. So thank you for, and this has been the season that has been most interacted with. So thank you, listeners, for that. That's been fun. But yeah, let's round this out with some predictions. Join in on the fun.
Yeah, like I said, Twitter, Instagram, Castaway Pod, YouTube, TikTok, Castaway Consultants. Our website is The Castaway Consultants, and then Facebook as well is Castaway Consultants. So
and you can read my blog on there where you get all my opinions without Derek and Josh crapping all over them. So
they're wonderful. I don't actually read them, but I do put them on the website. No. It's a nice little copy paste job.
No.
And lastly, my poll question on Spotify for this week was, will the Reba 4 stick together until Final 4? Now, obviously, we have an answer as of tonight, but 15% of you thought it would happen. So
15?
15. So 85 said no, but 15% of people thought that Reba would stick it through to the Final Four.
So I see 15% of people who responded to the poll have a drinking problem.
What does that have to do with anything?
They must have been drunk to think that.
You know what? Is it so bad to be an optimist, Ryan?
I don't know. I'm thinking of just like on Survivor. Positive side.
On Survivor.
Ryan, it's the Final Four on Survivor. It's the 15% on Survivor.
Jake, you have no chance to win on Survivor.
You can make almost any boring everyday task way more epic just by throwing on Survivor. Next time you have to do the dishes, be like, but I get to do the dishes on Survivor. And maybe it'll help get you through that moment. Thank you, Jake, for your outlook.
Yeah, Jake's great. I hope he wins. Somehow, I hope he pulls it out.
He won't, but if he did, I wouldn't mind it.
You know what? Now that you've come to the bright side, I was going to say the dark side, but now that you've come to the light, now I kind of hope Jake wins.
That'd be great. I'd be so happy if Jake wins. I don't even care if I'm
I wouldn't
wrong.
Even be mad.
I wouldn't even be mad. I would just, he's my favorite person on the season. I want it to happen. Go, Jake. Team Jake. All right. Finale's next. I'm excited.
I'm excited.
You too.
All right. This has been the Castaway Consultants.
Got nothing else for you.
Good night.